14 through 18. It says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Also, I'd like to read Colossians, the third chapter, verse 11. It says, "For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all." We see that Paul, right, to Philemon, who was a member of the Colossian church, which is about 100 miles east of Ephesus. And I got a book here written by Fred H. Reich called Manners and Customs of Bible Lands. And it says, "Character and Extent of Slavery in the Roman Empire. In the first century, human life was indeed cheap, for it has been established that half of the total population of the empire, or about 60 million people, were slaves." And so there was a lot of slaves in the first century. Todd, would you read the first seven verses of Philemon, please?
Okay, this is the New King James Version. "Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God for making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have a great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother."
He calls him beloved, which is, according to the Wagnalls dictionary that I have, is greatly loved or dear to the heart. So he was somebody that Philemon was later on in the text, that Philemon was converted by Paul, but according to tradition, Paul must have converted him while he was at Ephesus, because I think, according to tradition, some other guy started the church there at Colossae. And the main problem there at Colossae was there were people, false teachers coming in trying to combine Judaism, other sciences, man-made science, and Christianity, God's word, all together, and it was messing up the congregation. That was the reason he wrote Colossians. We see that in the text that he was one of the most effective people in that congregation. They met in his house, then he He was a great consolation and for the saints that were there. All right, Nathan, would you read verses 8 through 16? We see in the book again, under the Roman law and the slave did not have the rights or protection such as he enjoyed under Hebrew legislation. A master might have a slave crucified for almost any reason. Augustus Caesar had 30,000 slaves crucified during his reign. A slave whose stole might be branded by his master on the face with the letter CF, representing the words cave firmum, meaning beware the thief. And in the case of a runaway slave, if he were caught, his master might brand him, give him more than customary labor, or could have been put to death if he so desired. We see that even though Philemon was a Christian, and I guess he was a Roman citizen, he could have put Onesimus to death as when he was returned. But we see that Paul appeals to Philemon for Onesimus, because they're both fellow Christians at this point. And how are things different here in today's? Well, we don't have not so much here, but in larger congregations, you do have distinction between probably the well-educated and not so well-educated people. And but since Christ died on the cross, all Christians are in the same in God's eyes. And we're supposed to, how are we supposed to treat our fellow Christians or anybody mainly? Love them.
In the church today, I think no matter where we worship, there's always people who
No.
To make them a higher hierarchy in the chain toward God, and I think that's important because sometimes people think that way, and
yeah.
maybe they don't want to be as involved with the congregation if that's the case, or maybe sometimes people don't want to be involved other ways because they don't want to feel like they're lording over. I mean, they talk about that when referring to eldership. But I think in these verses, we can see that as an example
yeah.
of Paul asking a fellow brother to show compassion and to show, favor that he could have went either way,
yeah.
but by law,
yeah.
that doesn't always mean that's the right way. And I think today is the same way. We have a lot of laws that by rights we could do certain things as citizens of the United States, but that doesn't mean as Christians with our brothers and sisters we need to do that. So I guess that's what I take from it.
What did Onesimus run away from Philemon? He was supposed to have stolen, and then he went to Rome, and that's where he was converted by Paul. And he was helping Paul, but Paul could have probably kept him there, but it would not have been against God's law. Does the Bible ever condemn slavery per se in the scriptures? No. It tells in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verses 5 through 9. Also, bondservant, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. Also in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 22 through chapter 4 and verse 1. That bondservants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but with in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance for your service, for you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give to your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. We see that the Bible doesn't do away with slaves and masters, but once either the master, like Philemon was converted, and then Onesimus, they still have their place in whatever before they before they become Christian, they're still in that position. But with the right heart, as a servant of Christ, they'll we'll see in Philemon what we think he does. Cheryl, would you read verses 17 through 22, please? Up through verse 22.
At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you.
We see that Paul has faith and trust that Philemon will give Onesimus his freedom. We see that all through the scriptures that there's masters and slaves, but we have a master in Christ, and we're just slaves to his word. And when we worship, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. It has been since the beginning. We see in back up in first part that was read that some people believe Philemon was a leader of that church that met in his house, and I think he helped not only edify the brethren that was in this locality, but he also help spread the word in that general area, not only probably in Colossae, but he also helped helping probably spread the word over towards the congregation at Laodicea. Also in this book of Manners and Customs, the law did allow that he could be reinstated with mercy through the intercession of a special friend of the master. The Apostle Paul was Philemon's friend who interceded on behalf of the runaway slave Onesimus. The epistle to Philemon was Paul's plea to his friend on behalf of the converted slave. No doubt Philemon gave Onesimus freedom after receiving Paul's letter. Just as Paul interceded for Onesimus and went to a go-between between Onesimus and Philemon, we also have a person that intercedes for us, Christ Jesus, who intercedes on our behalf between us and God. When we pray to him, when we repent of our sins, he does He won't intercede for us if we continually, willfully sin or disobey him. He won't intercede for us. But if we're a Christian that we're converted, I mean, contrite in heart and go to him in prayer, he'll intercede for us to his Father. I have a book here by William Baker called Everyone in the Bible. And according to tradition, the tradition, it says that Philemon became the bishop of Colossae with his wife, son, and faithful slave Onesimus was stoned to death during Nero's brutal reign. We don't know that for a fact, but according to tradition, we know as the church doesn't have one bishop, it's a multitude, have to have more than one, because that's the reason, one of the reasons the Catholic Church started. They had one bishop trying to oversee over the other so-called bishops. But but we don't know exactly what Philemon, and after he but being under Paul and being taught by Paul, Onesimus and Philemon must have helped not only each other, but also the congregation there in Colossae. Anybody have what they figure?
You do this, so it would have been very hard for me not to refuse to do that. If we could learn to speak to brethren like that today, we might be a lot more accomplished.
Yeah. I think it took he could have done that. But I also think it took a lot of faith on Onesimus' part to go back, knowing that, even though I think it's Tychicus was supposed to have went back with him, but I think it took a lot of faith he could have been killed the minute he showed up.
And so just look at
the government signs that off as a debt they'll incur or whatever. So it makes me think, you know, Paul's not saying if he owes you, just let him get by with what he owes. He's saying, you know, I'll take that on and you'll get paid back. But at the same time, you know, that's an option. He's not just saying, hey, let him get away with it.
Yeah.
That's not what he's saying. And I think that's the lesson for us, I think, today is, you know, when we do things wrong, you know, sometimes as we sin or as we make choices in life that maybe aren't the best, you know, we answer for those as life goes on. And I think there's a lesson here that, you know, as brothers and sisters, we can help each other too, but some of that's on us to handle our affairs and do our things. And I just read this, and I couldn't be misunderstanding it, but I read this as Paul saying, I'm not asking you to if he owes you something, to not just take it as a loss. I'll pay for that. And I think Paul's showing, you know, some charity and hospitality there,
yeah.
which we need to do as Christians. But at the same time, he's saying that we need to pay our own debts if we have them, or they need to be taken care of somehow, not just written off, which I think in our culture today is like the new thing. I don't know if it's new. People who have been around are like, tell me it's not a new thing. But I think in today's world, you know, for us to pay off our debts and pay off what we owe people is kind of not as honorable as it used to be. Now it's like, how do I get out of paying for that? Well, it's your debt.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I'm wrong with that, but I see all the commercials with that type of thing, get out of the thing. So I think it's a cultural thing. So that's what I take from a few of the verses there,
yeah.
As well as what we talked about before.
Yeah.
You can take that one step further back too, because Onesimus, as being a slave, as taught in Ephesians, had a responsibility to serve and to not be an eye pleaser, but to do whatever Philemon said. Well, here Onesimus has run away, ends up in Rome. Paul's conversing. Part of our conversion is our, and part of repentance,
mm-hmm.
is that change of life and seeing those things, not only the debt that he owed him, but also the very fact that he was enslaved to me. And it was wrong for him as a slave to have left Philemon.
Yeah.
And it, regardless of what the penalty was, whether it came back to be death or imprisonment or whatever it may have been, but it is commendable on Onesimus' part and Paul's part to send him back to say, this is really your responsibility.
Yeah.
To go back to Philemon, who is your master, and let him make that decision,
yeah.
of how whether repayment or whatever the consequences may be. But that's part of it. That's part of being genuine in his own heart and becoming a Christian,
yeah.
Making that not only restitution of pay, but restitution of saying I was willing to leave to start with.
Now. We see in the scriptures that, especially in the life of David, he repented of some of the sins he did, but there was consequences, there might be. Whatever sin we commit, that we might ask for God forgiveness and might receive it, but there might be consequences, whether, especially if we see in the world that drunk driving, a Christian may get drunk and kill somebody. Not intentionally, but God might forgive him of his sin, but there's consequences of that action that he took. And like Todd says, that there's consequences for for Onesimus to run away. When he fled. Uh, And we see that both Onesimus and Philemon that were taught by Paul to be like Christ, to have the spirit of Christ. And not only them, but also us, that we have to have the spirit of Christ. We had a lesson on Jacob on having a very like relationship with God, but also having a right relationship with our fellow man. And we see that, well, I don't know how well off Philemon was. He just was, must have been pretty well off to have probably more than one slave other than Onesimus. But we see in Matthew, I think it's 18th chapter. My notes. Matthew the 19th chapter, verses 23 through 26. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, talking after the young man went away that was rich. It says, Jesus said, surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We see God, through Paul and other preachers, that both Philemon and Onesimus had a willing heart to listen to the word and to be saved. And the same way with today, that with the right, with the word being preached with the right heart, and the listener with a right willingness to listen to the word, can be converted whether they're rich or poor. So we can take these examples of also Philemon, we see, was very hospitable. We see that Christians can take an example of not only Philemon, but a lot of people in the Bible, that to be hospitable to our fellow Christians and also to the world. Anybody have any remarks they'd like to make?
Paul puts a little pressure on Philemon too, though.
Yeah.
He wants Philemon to do what's right and believes that he does. But he tells Philemon, he says, I'm sending back Onesimus just like I'm sending back my own heart.
Yeah.
Which we need pressure from our brethren sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I know you're going to do, I know the right thing, and I believe you will. And by the way, I'm going to come visit you in about a week or so, and I'm going to see what you did. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'll probably follow you and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to. We see somebody, or hear somebody need, especially our brethren that needs encouragement. We need to go and tell them, ask them what they need or encouragement.
And sometimes if we expect the best of people,
yeah,
you know, we expect them that they'll do the right thing. That's an encouragement for them to do the right thing. Mm. Instead of expecting the worst thing, you know, you're probably not gonna act right. And that's probably an encouragement for them to be wrong.
Yeah.
But if we give them opportunity to do the right thing and give some, show some confidence, I think you will do the right thing. Mm. There's more likelihood they'll do what's right.
Mm. I think it's